If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
We are happy to have you along. Lots of things to talk about on the show this week.
Yeah.
Lots of things that are going on in this this interesting world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a radio station that I'm on every Monday mornings at 7:30, and it's really talking about the weekend news, if you will, and what happened. And I heard a reporter on CNBC the previous week actually say it's almost news fatigue.
Oh,
there
yeah.
is so much stuff happening in the world right now that it is impossible to keep track of. And so what happens in the lives of people, Sherry, and we saw it happen in Indiana. I can't remember, probably 3 or 4 years ago. There was a major tornado storm that hit southern Indiana. And there were like three big storms that really, really were very, very devastating to entire communities.
Mm.
And the first one got a lot of financial support from people, you know, good-hearted people given to the United Way, Salvation Army, you know, place at the Red Cross, places to try to help.
Right.
The second one got a little less, and the third one got almost nothing.
Hmm.
And what happens is you get overloaded.
Yeah.
Right? You become desensitized to a degree.
Yeah.
And so here we live in this world today where we've got a G7 meeting. We've got a meeting with the North Korea leader, you know, walking God, if you will, the way they look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Italy saying no, we are now staying in the euro for sure. We're not going to Brexit or do our own exit. You know, you've got a lot of news, and it's so easy to hide some of that stuff under the table and say, hey, you know what? It just doesn't matter. Well, just because there's a lot of it doesn't mean that we don't have to pay attention to it. So I'm not going to spend any time on this show at all discussing any of those issues. My point is this: they do still matter. So each week we put together a 4 to 5 minute video newsletter. It's called The Market Carver. It goes out every Thursday afternoon. All you have to do is go to yourlifeafterwork.com. Say you want to sign up for The Market Carver. It'll come to your inbox every Thursday. When our allocation team meets on Mondays, I come out of the allocation team from the stuff that I have from the narrative that I thought was the most important over the course of the week. My CFA puts in his part as the fundamental part. My chartered market technician does his part in terms of where the technical aspects of the market and how things are performing relative to where they are. We take that information, we consolidate it into that video newsletter called The Market Carver, and we send it out. And that's it's a free thing for you. We are fiduciaries. At the Financial Enhancement Group, we take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. At the same time, we want you to have access to information that you may not be able to get on your own. If you're going to try to do it on your own, we want to give you as much help as we possibly can. You're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. We got to take a break, but we'll get right back and into the show.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money. money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
We are happy to have you along.
Yes.
Not happy that it's, you know, the flying through the year, but happy to be here.
Midsummer.
Anyhow, how can I help you?
I have some questions.
I know.
Actually, I saw this one on Investopedia, but I know people that have been in this position. So I'm asking. So this is when the bottom falls out.
Okay.
Okay. So the question is, why am I being taxed so much after withdrawing my 401k and taking out a loan? So here's the situation. Person's 57 years old and lost their job.
Yep.
After losing the job, he took out his 401k.
Yep.
Also took a loan out and was taxed 20% on this.
He took a loan out before he took his 401k out.
Really?
Yeah, he was mistaken.
Then he says, I got taxed 20% for the money I withdrew from my 401k.
Yep.
So taxed on both?
Yep.
Why isn't the balance on my tax owed not 20%?
Okay, so here's what he's trying to say in the details, and it is a little bit challenging. When you take money out of the 401k, and you're taking money, right? So we're not talking about rolling it over to an IRA.
Right.
You were talking about Sherry's getting a check.
Because I lost my job and I got
forget to losing your job.
Okay.
Anybody, you're taking money out of a 401k. Start there.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
So you're taking money out of a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS says by law, without looking at your tax return, without understanding your unique situation, the IRS says by law that they must withhold 20% tax and send it directly to the IRS. Okay.
Oh.
So we had, she's passed away, so I could actually say her name, but I won't. But in 1997, we had a lady who worked at General Motors.
Okay.
Right. And she went to her bank, and her bank said, you should take the money out of that crazy market and put it in our CDs.
Okay.
And had her take a 401k check.
Yes.
From, and we're talking about $300,000.
Wow.
Had her take the 401k check from the 401k, and it got mailed to her, made payable in her name.
Yes.
Sent to your house is not a problem. And it's who it's made payable to.
Sure.
Made payable to her. She took it to the bank. The bank cashed it. She wondered where the $60,000 went. It was $300,000 in her 401k. The General Motors, Fidelity, did what they were supposed to do. They withheld to the 20%, $60,000. They sent the $60,000 to the IRS. The banker said, it's no problem. We'll call them and get the $60,000 back.
Really?
Inaccurate. That did not happen. She had to go get a loan for $60,000 and in order to put it back in. Now, she got the $60,000 back with the help of us at the Financial Enhancement Group, but not until the following April when she was able to file her taxes, because she had technically had an overpayment. But that $60,000 was taxable to her, because they sent it in as tax. And yes, you pay taxes on your taxes. It's kind of a complicated thing. Now, where it gets to be interesting is if you have a loan. And that was one of the big things that came out of the December 22nd, 2018 tax or 17 tax change, that it really is beneficial to people.
Okay.
So this guy took a loan on his 401k, perfectly legal.
So he withdrew money and he took out a loan.
He didn't do it in that order. He took a loan.
Okay.
Okay. And then he lost his job and he rolled out his 401k. It's the only way this can work.
Okay. Got it.
So when he had the loan, let's say he had a balance of $10,000 that he owed back on the loan. When you take a loan out of a 401k, you have to make payments out of your check pay that loan back.
Got it.
Under the old rules, you had 60 days to pay that loan off, whether you lost your job, whether you quit. Regardless, they no longer have a paycheck that they're sending you.
Okay.
You had 60 days to be able to pay that loan off.
Right.
Otherwise, it is deemed taxable. Again, 20% of the money should be sent to the IRS.
Mm.
If it's a loan and they don't have any balance left, right?
Yeah.
Then they don't have the money to send.
Right.
So that's why the loan is taken care of before the 401k could be moved.
Wow.
That's how we know that he was wrong. But she had 60 days to pay that loan off. The change that came out December 22nd of 17, rather, was that you now had until the final tax filing of that tax year. So if it happened in July of 2018, your final taxes are really due October 15th of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have, you know, a little over a year to figure out how to come up with the money to pay off the loan so that it wasn't taxable.
So what should he have done?
Well, you should be aware of what happens if you move money out of a 401k and
right.
how the process works if you have a loan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's on our checklist when somebody comes in and we're getting ready to help them make a change. We always look to see if there's a loan that's on the 401k that's out there or not.
Yeah.
Make sure that we understand what it's going to do to their tax return if they take the 401k out without the loan being paid off. We just had one not too long ago. The lady had about $250,000 inside of her 401k.
Mm-hmm.
She had about a $7,000 loan that the payment, because it's down to $7,000,
yeah.
but the payment that she was paying back twice a month, right, in order to maintain the loan, they had some special deal because of when it was done. The loan payment that she was making was actually greater than what the tax payment would be to go ahead and pay the taxes on the $7,000. And they were worried about cash flow and wanted to have the cash flow. So we recommended that she go ahead and move the 401k, pay off go ahead and pay the taxes on the $7,000 and stop making those biweekly payments.
Wow.
You know, so that she was able to have more cash flow.
Wow. Okay. Hey, one more quick question.
Okay.
I have never personally been audited that I can remember. The question is there any way to lower the chance of being audited?
Yeah, you use a CPA firm that is highly reputable that signs off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who do their own taxes tend to get audited more often than others.
Okay.
When you start adding additional schedules or businesses or K-1s, that kind of happens. And what happens is they take all of They used to have a line-by-line audit for 50,000 lucky Americans every year. And then they would figure out where people were making mistakes, and they would look for returns that had those kind of filings.
I see.
The audit process isn't near as egregious anymore.
Is it?
For the typical person walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, one of the big reasons that we did raise the standard deduction from the 12,000 and change to the 24,000 for married, filing, jointly people. One of the big reasons is that a lot of the mistakes, quote unquote,
were
in the itemization.
Right. That makes sense.
And now if you're not there, right. You know, I mean, I've seen people say that they gave away $5,000 worth of used clothes to the Salvation Army and Goodwill. And it's kind of like, okay.
I probably have done that, Joe.
You know,
seriously.
The IRS, the IRS would ask for receipts. And the standard for that is if you're giving away a shirt, they won't tell you what it costs. But
no,
Goodwill has a thing that says, go look at this shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the amount of money that you're able to take for that deduction. So that's what you can do. But CPA firms, I will tell you, are very careful about not letting people take deductions they shouldn't take,
mm-hmm.
because when they get audited, if the IRS wins, more of their families tend to get audited than places who don't.
Right.
And that's why in the big firms, there's a full court press when somebody's about to get audited to make sure that there's no success on the form of the IRS.
Because then they think there's fire.
They believe there's a chance.
So there's absolutely no connection between an investment complication. I mean, like how.
I shouldn't say an investment. Yeah, complications for mistakes. But I can't tell you that in itself is what they're looking for. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Sherry Kontos. We'll take a break and be right back.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get paychecks. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
Happy to have you along.
We are. More questions,
Joe. More questions.
Okay, I don't think we've ever talked about this before. Should I withdraw funds from my thrift savings plan at one time or over several years? This person is 70 and a half years old.
Okay, so he's 70 and a half. Does it say if he's retired or not?
Says he needs to close it out.
Okay, so he's retired. So the TSP, as we call it, that's the 401k for federal employees.
Okay.
And it does have some glitches. We have a problem right now where if you have an IRA and it's a TD Ameritrade and I die, we can roll it directly to Barb as a spouse and get it into a spousal IRA. For some odd reason, the TSP is not allowing that. We've gone through all sorts of loops. We finally found the form that they said didn't exist where they have to do it.
Wow.
Now we're having to get things notarized. It's been a nightmare, right?
Interesting.
So but it is their version of a 401k plan.
Okay.
Has a great option in there for fixed income, the G option that is just incredible. There's no way I could buy it anywhere else on the planet. Mm. So when I have somebody, and I do have people who have the TSP, the money that we leave in their 401k, we use that G fund because I don't have anything in the public sector that comes anywhere that's near it. The answer is when you go to roll it out, though, you're going to roll it out as an IRA. You can move it all out. There's no reason to leave money behind in there unless you're using that G fund and there's a reason for that. Remember, we talk about not making silo decisions. You want to have your allocation be overly right. And if you're going to have a fixed income exposure, that is my favorite place in the world to be able to have it. In the world that we live in today, the money that you weren't going to leave in the G fund, I would certainly move to an IRA and get it out there so you had a better, more diverse portfolio.
Okay.
Again, always use that checklist. Go through the fiduciary focus. You know, what's the risk and volatility you're taking by staying there?
Yeah.
What are the fees and expenses by staying there versus where you're going? What's the tax impact going to be? And as long as you're rolling it to an IRA, there is none. But you are going to have to begin to take required minimum distributions because of your age.
70 and a half. Yeah. Okay. Next question. I inherited an IRA that was passed down two different times.
Okay.
Do I qualify for a five-year disbursement?
Well, everybody qualifies for the five-year disbursement. The question is, do you qualify for the stretch? So don't look in the tax code for anything called the stretch. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
The stretch is a tax concept that we put a name to because people think in pictures as opposed to codes. So what happens with an IRA when somebody dies is you've got two types of beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
You have spousal and non-spousal.
Right.
So if I die, Barb can inherit my IRA.
Yep.
And there's no problem at all. It becomes her IRA and life is good.
Right.
Okay. Because Barb is under 59 and a half, she has the option to leave it as an inherited IRA. An inherited IRA, there is no 10% federal penalty for distribution. regardless of age, because you always have to take the required minimum distribution.
Sure.
So Barb would take the RMD based on her life expectancy,
mm-hmm.
and then a spouse, only a spouse, would change that or should change that to her own IRA once she attains 59 and a half.
Okay.
So that you are now at a first generation IRA again.
Right.
Let's say she didn't.
Right.
So Barb was my beneficiary, so she now has an inherited IRA.
Mm-hmm.
It would say the beneficiary, it would say that the inherited IRA of Joseph A. Clark, this date of death, you know, for the benefit of Barbara Clark. It's got to be properly titled. Barb would then name the beneficiaries, ostensibly Kaylee and Kendra Clark, my daughters. Well, Palmer now, one of them's married.
Mm-hmm.
When something happened to Barb, they would be the inheritor. Now, that's second generation, right? I died.
Yeah.
Barb chose not to roll it in her own IRA.
Right.
So it was an inherited IRA.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are the second generation.
Right.
Okay. Second step down. Now, here's where life gets to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The tax code clearly says, yes, they can inherit and use the stretch, which means they can take the money out over the life expectancy of the first beneficiary.
Okay.
So Barb had to take the IRA out at her life expectancy.
Right.
She was the first to inherit.
Sure.
The kids get to take it out at over life, but they're taking out over Barb's life expectancy, even though Barb's no longer here.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
They're taking it out over her life expectancy.
Okay.
And that is perfectly legit and legal. Go ahead.
Well, this is a three generation inheritance thing, but it's it's the son who gave it to the grandmother.
We've never seen it happen.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it would take a serious accident in theory to be able to make all of this happen
for the
beneficiaries. The key thing is on an IRA, 403B, 401K, you need to have a living, breathing beneficiary or a very, very specialized trust. You can do it in a trust, just not your normal grantor revocable living trust. I totally disagree with that.
Okay.
But the point here with this five-year rule is if you don't have a living, breathing beneficiary,
mm-hmm.
whoever winds up with the money has to pay the taxes on that entire account within 5 years of receipt.
I see.
Right. And that's where it gets to be.
Okay.
That's where it gets to be interesting.
Okay.
If they're taking it out under what's called the stretch, which means over your life expectancy, we're going to stretch
mm-hmm.
out that deferred payment.
Right.
Then it's paid out as you receive it.
Okay. All right. Last question. Where should I move my 401k account from my past employer?
Well, you can do a couple different things. So that if the 401k, the provider of your previous plan, if you have enough money in it, has to let you leave it there if you want to. Right.
Okay.
That's one. Two, if you go to a new job,
mm-hmm.
they will almost always let you roll previous 401k money into existing 401k money. That's perfectly legitimate and a way to go. Or you can roll it out into an IRA. Now, different states are different ways. There's a difference between bankruptcy law and creditor protection. So don't forget that.
Bankruptcy.
If I move money from a 401k, if you're worried about creditor protection, if you're wheeling and dealing and, you know, you've got business loans that are out there and everything else, if you move money from a 401k, I would move it to its own IRA. Because that still maintains the creditor protection because it came from a 401k. In some states, other states could be a little bit different. You need to consult your attorney on that one if it arises, obviously. But it's just one of those things to be aware of. If you're not worried about creditor protection, you can roll that money directly to your own IRA. There's no tax consequence. There's no problem there. If you're married, your spouse will probably have to sign off. Because remember, your spouse always has to be your beneficiary in a 401k,
right?
Not necessarily so in an IRA.
Okay. So real quick, someone wrote in, we've talked about this lots of times. How can I verify that my advisor is a fiduciary?
Well, first ask them if they're a registered investment advisor. I mean, there's a series of questions you can ask. If they're a registered investment advisor offering and using discretion,
mm-hmm.
Then by law, they are acting in a fiduciary manner. What you want to ask is, do you have any conflicts of interest?
Yes.
Are you acting in my best interest? And are you deemed a fiduciary? And most people won't lie three times. If you ask me if I was acting in your best interest, I would have always told you yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you would ask me if I had conflicts of interest when I was younger, I didn't necessarily understand what the conflicts were.
Yeah.
Right? I'm pretty clear about them now and understand them. It's one of the first things we search for. But if you'd ask me if I was a fiduciary, the answer was no. You know, we very much are now. It's all the only way we function is under the fiduciary standard. But it is a very, very important question to ask, because many people believe they have a fiduciary helping them, and what they have is a broker or somebody else. And when you really get into the weeds and ask the questions, you find out that you don't necessarily have somebody acting in your best interest without verified and understandable conflicts. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. Got to take a break. Don't forget, yourlifeafterwork.com. Get signed up for the Market Carver. Love to see you on a weekly basis. Take care. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
Happy to have you along.
Yes.
We are listening if you're new to the program. I'm the managing partner at the Financial Enhancement Group, an Indiana-based registered investment advisory firm. We take care of people in a little over 30 states, a little over $350 million at the time of this recording. And this is the show that kind of drives me. It's when I wake up in the morning. I know my why. Thank you, Simon Sinek. It's to educate people about their money, their finances, so they don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. So the point of Consider This is to give you things that you need to consider, in my opinion, that are going on in the financial world. Many of you write in questions either to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com, email me, consider this@yourlifeafterwork.com, or they go to a place called Investopedia and put in the question, and then I'm able to go in and answer it there as well. So regardless of how you want to do it, we're more than happy to answer the questions. If you're new to the show, you may not notice, but I don't talk a lot about the market intentionally. I don't think that's something that you should consider every day. However, we have an allocation team meeting every Monday, and at the end of that meeting, myself or my CFA, Adam Harder, put together a video with 3 to 4 things that we think are the most important things that happened in the economy last week, things that we're paying attention to. Could be economy, could be market. But you can go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com, get signed up for the Market Carver. It is free. And more than happy to have you along. All right, Sherry.
Okay. Question. Here's a question. Now, I recently purchased a home, and that's why this question is interesting to me. And I didn't pay cash for the house, so I got a home loan.
Okay.
So the question is, would leasing a car impact my ability to get a home loan?
And the answer is?
Well, it does.
Why?
A car payment impacts your ability because it's a debt.
It's a debt. So
I suppose leasing a car would be considered a debt?
Leasing a car would be considered a debt. It's a contractual payment.
Sure. Okay.
So what the question is really about, when you go to buy a home, especially when you're younger, the big challenge for most people, there's 3 big issues that they have. One is debt to income ratio.
Right.
We'll come back to that. Second one is credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the third one is having the down payment, the right amount of money. So this question is pertaining to a debt to income ratio. And so the banks have a specific number. Remember, you'll hear them use the word conforming loan. Conforming means that they can put it in a box that looks like a lot of other things, and then they sell them off to investors.
Okay.
So investors will buy mortgage-backed security funds that are a bunch of mortgages that are put together.
Right.
Go back to the housing crisis in 2007 and 8.
Right.
And that's really where the dominoes began to fall. People didn't understand that that's how it was working.
Yeah.
But they want you to be under a certain debt-to-income ratio. The longer the loan, the more the debt-to-income ratio matters in the banker's opinion.
Hmm.
Thus, you can get a car lease or a car loan with a much higher debt-to-income ratio than you can a mortgage.
Never
because cars aren't out there quite as long on the 30-year mortgage. There are people who are getting these real long 7-year mortgage or 7-year car. I don't get it. But yes.
Okay. Next question. Should I sell shares of certified stock or shares from the dividend reinvestment plan?
Which drips.
That's a new thing.
Drips.
For me.
That's because they're very rarely around. You shouldn't have one. Anyhow. So here's what happened in the old days, and I know some of you still have them, and I'm not trying to be demeaning, I apologize, but they are a tax nightmare. In the old days, people would buy stock in their company plan. Or alongside of their company plan. A lot of my pharmacists do it at CVS. where they have the ability to buy stock at a different thing. Mm-hmm. There is no really such word as certified, but they buy stock. And so they own a share of CVS and they don't have it at, and then they retire. And it usually goes to the Bank of New York or place like that as a custodian of the shares. So it'll tell you on there that you've got 1,000 shares of stock. It's not at TD Ameritrade. It's not at Schwab. So you're going to get a 1099 from them every year.
Okay.
DRIP says it stands for Dividend Reinvestment Plan. And every time those 1,000 shares of stock pay a dividend, then those dividends are used to buy more shares or partial shares.
Of the same stock. Oh, okay.
So it's a tax nightmare because you're paying taxes on the dividend, right?
Yeah.
But you're not getting any cash flow.
Ooh.
And it creates a 1099 that you have to pay attention to.
I don't like that.
So we would move all of the stock, frankly, into what we would call street name. That's where you use a custodian, a TD Ameritrade, a Schwab.
Yeah.
You know, we would move it there. It doesn't mean you have to sell it, but you can have the dividends either go to buy other stock. Remember when I started the Financial Enhancement Group back in 1997, I try to remind people that it was $300 to make a stock trade.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, 21 years ago is a long time in one hand, not that long ago on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would sit there and in a dividend reinvestment plan back then, when they were buying those shares for free for people, there was some justification to it, right?
Yeah.
Today, when we have, you know, 300 exchange traded funds that we can buy and sell for free,
mm-hmm.
right? And a stock trade is 6.25, the concept of doing the DRIP doesn't make near as much sense as it does before.
Yeah.
And if somebody happens to pass away while the plan is there, there's rarely a beneficiary designation attached, easily winds up in probate. You know, it just creates a lot of problems, and I would strongly discourage it. So, but to answer your question, it doesn't matter which of the shares that you sell. What you would obviously want to sell are the ones that had the highest basis. Mm-hmm. In other words, the ones that you had paid the most for.
Right.
That way you recognize the least amount of taxation.
So I have a question. If you're invested in stocks that typically pay dividends, are you not typically investing in those so that you would actually take the dividends? I mean, isn't that
No. The majority of people don't take income out of their portfolio. So in our case, the dividend goes to essentially the money market account.
I see.
In the same account. And
right.
then we use it
and
to redeploy
it.
To buy
okay.
buy new things or additional things of that.
Okay.
I may have 5 families out of 850. That have the dividend sent to their house in a check because they live on them.
Yeah, right.
That is not what most people do.
Yeah.
It is what some of the higher net worth people do, where they have one very consolidated position. One person's got a boatload of Lilly, another one's got a boatload of a bank stock.
Right.
And they have no intentions of ever selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the dividend sent to their house every quarter, and that's essentially their spending money.
Interesting.
That is how they live.
Okay. Can I still open a 401k if I'm already retired?
That's a quick question. No. a 401k means you have to have an employer. You cannot even open an IRA if you do not have earned income.
Right.
So the age is important. If you're over 70 and a half, you can never open an IRA. You can a Roth, but not a traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't open a 401k plan unless you have taxable income that is earned and you have an employer to go with it. Now, if you have earned income and you own your own company,
that's what I mean,
then you can very much open up what's called a solo 401k.
Can you?
But you have to have earned income.
And
the best way to define that is income that is subject to Social Security tax, to FICA and FUTA.
Well, a lot of people are retired and still have income, though.
But that's not earned income.
I mean, you said you have a lot of people that have retired and still work.
Yes, and that they can do. But but most of them don't have the income source to go open up a 401k plan.
I see.
That's not what they do. They're working because your life after work. Most of us don't just watch grass grow. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Sherry Kontos. You got a question or comment, shoot me an email. And don't forget to visit yourlifeafterwork.com. Sherry and I'll take a break. We'll be right back. 800-928-4001.
Hi,
I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
All right, guys, we're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958.
Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to this one. Welcome to Consider This with Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. Hope you're having an outstanding day.
Yes.
It's time for the segment with Sherry.
The Sherry segment.
So, Sherry, yeah. And for those of you that are new to the show or just catching it, because we add a station or two every week, it seems like, somewhere around the country. Sherry's job, I'm the managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group, a certified financial planner. Sherry's job is to kind of be the average Joe, if you will.
The average Joe.
And so she tries to keep me in line in the other segments. And this is the one where she comes up with information or questions that I have not seen.
Yep.
And then we try to work through them and answer them just to the best of our ability.
Right. So, I mean, they often dovetail with some of the things we talk about on the radio. But by accident, yeah, because people will come up to me and ask questions because they know that I know you.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I came across this article and I just want your perspective. I'm going to tell you what the article said. And then because you specialize, your thing is preparing people for retirement.
Right. Like, your life after work.
Right. So this title of this article was, this is what retirees would do differently if they could go back in time.
Ooh, a do-over.
A do-over.
Which you don't get,
mm-hmm. But I'm sure I'm guessing you've heard those words before when people come to see you.
Sure.
Right.
If I could only have one more shot.
So there are three things that they had pages and pages of people that responded. Relax photo, Getty. I mean, I was trying to figure out who actually wrote the article, but they said they had pages and pages of people who responded, yeah, who had retired. So the number one thing, which should be no surprise, was that they wish they had started saving earlier.
Yep.
So they get to age 50 and boom.
Einstein said on his deathbed, allegedly, I wasn't there, obviously, but he said he wasn't sure what the seven wonders of the world were, but he was sure the eighth was compound interest.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. If you start saving at 20 and stop at 25, saving the same amount from 25 each year, from 25 to all the way to 65, you actually have more money starting with those first 5 years just because of the way compound interest works. It's amazing. That's at an 8% rate, I believe they showed.
So I'm thinking they should have that like posted in high schools.
And that's why they have 401ks now where people are opted in. They actually have to opt out as opposed to the savings.
Oh.
Some companies are like that. Some still aren't. Some companies still don't have 401ks. But it is important to start as soon as you can. And it doesn't have to be big amounts. You know, one of the old sayings that's just not right is if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Well, some things are worth doing, you know, poorly. until you can do them right.
Yeah.
So yes, you should be saving, if you're under 25, you should be saving 5% of your income every year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can only save one, that beats the heck out of
nothing.
Sacrificing, and doing nothing.
Yeah. So the overwhelming majority of people said that low-cost index funds were the most efficient way to build a retirement nest egg. What would you say about that?
For many people, building. So you remember, you go through those three stages of finance, right? Accumulation, where your goal is saving the right percentage of your income. The second one then is the tax diversification.
Mm-hmm.
That when you get to preservation, it's about having that average return, but you've got to have a discipline to be able to stick through beginning, middle, and end to be able to get there.
Yeah.
And then in distribution, it's the tax rate you pay on the average dollar that you pull out of your retirement and the volatility between distribution points. So there is no doubt that one major difference that people have today that they didn't have even 15 years ago is access to many exchange-traded funds that are index and passive investments. And all that means is you're investing without a manager for all intents and purposes.
Mm-hmm, right,
it's an index that's set. There's no trading that goes on. So when you look at the fiduciary focus, right, the four things that I think you always have to be aware of: risk and volatility, fees and expenses, taxes today and tomorrow, and real return, meaning inflation. When you look at those four categories, a passive investment, an index fund, does not necessarily reduce risk and volatility, though it does provide diversification because you're clearly in a multiple number of positions. Fees and expenses are much better inside of passive investment, almost always. The taxes are usually better than an actively traded mutual fund, because you don't have the capital gains and everything else that's done, though you still can incur dividends. Obviously, if it's in an IRA, it doesn't matter. And inflation's kind of covered with the first part, with the risk and volatility. So I would agree the access to that stuff has dramatically improved over the 31 years of my career. But since we started the Financial Enhancement Group in 97, it cost us $300 to make a stock trade back in 97. So anybody in their right mind would have used an index that could have, as opposed to an individual company, just because the cost of getting in and out for the average American was so great. Today, that's a little bit different. You know, we have 300 exchange traded funds we can use for free.
Yes.
Right. So I agree.
Okay. Number two thing is to prepare for the unexpected. They wish they had done prepared for the unexpected. Yeah. And that's part of your planning process.
It is. It's one of those, when we help people find their financial, or define their financial vision, rather. It's one of the things I remind people, if you've got a kid and I've got a kid and they race to Indianapolis, we live in Anderson, and they race to Indianapolis and go 100 miles an hour and one of my daughters wins, as parents, neither of us are going to get out of the car and high five them.
No.
Because we know of all of the things that could have happened.
Sure.
Just because it was successful.
Right.
Didn't mean that it was okay.
Right.
And yet the extreme majority of people never understand the amount of risk they took to get the reward that they got.
Mm.
And so people will have multiple money managers and they will compare the returns of each of them each year based on the result. And the result is certainly matters. To say that a result doesn't matter is inappropriate. But to understand the risk that was taken to receive the said result is an entirely another story.
Right. Okay.
You got to be ready to deal with both of them.
Last of the top three.
Okay.
Don't forget the personal side of retirement. And by that, they mean not just a financial retirement plan, but a life plan for retirement. But they said they didn't anticipate the lack of identity in retirement.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how much a financial planner gets involved in that, but I wanted to ask you about that.
Well, it's a lot more for some people than it is for others.
Yeah.
You don't, if you were in an executive level position, you don't recognize the number of decisions you make on a daily basis.
Right.
And you can't just shut that off. So when you leave work, all of a sudden I've seen people who are just tremendously solid, wonderful business people be mad at the mailman because the mail was 5 minutes late. Because you're used to making very, very, intelligent decisions. So part of that vision, if you will, and part of why we call it your life after work, very much is that coaching of, okay, here are the mess of things that can come up in your life as you prepare for retirement. Here's what happens during the stages of retirement. We have to remember, if two people make it to age 60, actuaries tell us there's a 90% probability that one of them makes it to 90.
Yes.
Right. And so you've got, if you retire at 60, we've got 30 more years of planning.
Right.
You
know,
what hasn't changed in the last 30 years of your life? Because you're going to have more changes over the next 30 than the previous 30. It's just the way that it is. Healthcare, family issues, you know, all sorts of different things that pop up. So the better you can plan for that, the better off that you are. But you do have to be ready for life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. There's just no way around it.
No.
You know, prepare for it, be ready for it, and make sure that you've got those contingency things that are covered. And one of those contingencies are, what am I going to do with my 40 to 50 hours a week that were previously booked?
Right,
Most people find something else to do.
Okay.
Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@YourLifeAfterWork.com. Don't forget to go to Your Life After Work and get signed up for the weekly Market Carver. Have a great week, my friends. We'll see you again next time. Take care.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.